Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for July 14th, 2024 is based on Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Speaking Truth to Power. An introduction to our reading from Mark. As Jesus and his disciples begin to attract attention, Mark recalls the story of John the Baptist's martyrdom. Like John, Jesus and his disciples will also suffer at the hands of those opposed to the gospel of salvation. A reading from Mark. King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'll be honest with y'all. I was not super excited to preach on this text today. It's not the text I was hoping that the lectionary, this assigned set of readings every 3 years, would drop on my plate this week. I kept putting off writing this sermon. I did several home visits this week. I worked on reports and letters. I worked on our community craft for the Lebanon Pride booth. I quadruple checked our packing list for the youth gathering trip. I was doing anything and everything I could to not have to write my sermon. Even when I got to my time off this weekend, I was doing all kinds of long forgotten home projects in order to put off writing. At one point on Saturday morning, my loving wife looks at me and says, "That sermon isn't going to write itself." And I think my reply was, "Yeah, well, this text stinks." And while my comment isn't a very nuanced commentary of our Mark passage, I stand by the sentiment. Hear me out and why I am not a fan of this text for preaching. Number one, Jesus doesn't appear in the reading at all. Kind of strange for a gospel text. Number two, it is a highly political text being read during a time of high political strife in our nation. And I wrote that before the horrific violent actions of yesterday in Pennsylvania. And number three, there's no good news in this gospel reading. Commentator Moffat Churn says this about the passage. You can put your ear to the ground and listen for as long as you will like, and you will not detect so much as a single note of good news in this story. Did anyone else feel like that when I was reading the passage? In studying this text, one of the commentators I read, C. Clinton Black, says, the preacher that uses this text for Sunday's sermon receives my congratulations for originality and guts. But here we are. It's Sunday. The gospel reading has been read out loud in worship, and I'm standing at the pulpit, so we have to address this text. We have to wade into the strange, difficult, even horrific passage to see maybe what God might be saying to us through it. The first thing to note is where this passage appears in the larger narrative of the Gospel of Mark. This comes immediately after our passage from last week, where Jesus has just sent his disciples out two by two to spread the message that all should repent. To repent means to turn around, to have a change of heart. And our passage today is really a flashback story to explain why Herod is nervous when he hears about these people sharing a message of repentance. He's worried that John has returned from the dead to haunt him for his actions. And here's some backstory. John is currently being held in prison for being openly critical of Herod and his abuse of power. Speaking truth to power has a long history of getting people in trouble. C. Clinton Black says this, when repentance is preached to this world's princes, do not expect them to relinquish their power, however conflicted some may be. The righteous die for reasons both valorous and vapid. You see, Herod has used his power to take his sister-in-law as his wife. And when John hears about this, he calls Herod out and says that he has gone against the laws of Torah by his actions. Herod could have had John killed at that moment, but instead he imprisons him. We're told that Herod actually feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and that he protected him. And when he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and he liked to listen to him. Herod's new wife, on the other hand, desperately wants John killed. Some claim she held a nasty grudge against John's harsh words. Others say that she was doing what was needed in order to show the masses that her husband was a strong and capable leader. And so at a party for Herod's birthday, where there is no doubt a large gathering of very important people, the fate of John the Baptist is sealed. Herod is so pleased at his daughter's dancing. There's a lot to unpack there, and that's a Bible study for another day. But Herod is so pleased at his daughter's dancing that he promises her anything she wishes. And at her mother's bequests, she requests the head of John the Baptist on a platter. At this point, Herod is stuck between a rock and a hard place. He fears John and likes to listen to him, and he doesn't want him dead. But he has just publicly made an oath to his daughter, saying that anything she wants, she can have, and he must make good on that promise. If he chooses not to kill John, his authority and power are called into question by those in attendance, and he could lose his seat of power and the trust of the people. Or he can kill John in order to hold on to his power, but at the same time, go against what he believes is the right thing to do. And faced with this decision, once again, the lure of holding on to power brings out the worst in humanity. Matt Skinner puts it this way: this scene emphasizes, for anyone who needs convincing, the cycles of misery and cruelty that ensnare the world. Human society inflicts as much harm as demons and death. Leaders' actions have widespread consequences. We don't always have the power to rein in the destructive potential of self-obsessed rulers, toxic values, and an unwillingness to listen to truth. But Herod Antipas and his household remind us that innocent people will suffer when we don't use the power available to us. What does faithful resistance and courageous hope look like in your context? That's why this story appears where it does in the narrative of Mark. It functions in two ways. One, it presages or previews the death of Jesus at the hands of those who want to hold on to power. And two, it is placed right after the story of the disciples being sent out as a way of saying to those who are called to spread the message of God that they will inevitably find themselves at odds with those in power. And at times it can be a dangerous thing with real consequences. We've seen this play out over history in the lives of many faithful Christians, most notably in the lives of people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King Jr., whose lives were taken from them because they spoke truth to power. Now, if this is where you're thinking to yourself, okay, now's the time where Pastor Corey drops the good news on us from this passage, you're going to be waiting a long time. Sure, we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus defeats death and promises us a life everlasting. And that surely is good news. But in this particular passage, I don't see good news as much as I see a truthful reality and a call to action. Worldly power almost always seeks to keep power by any means necessary. Fear, control, and death are the currency of that worldly power. Jesus calls us to repent from that idea of power and to preach repentance from its harmful grip on humanity. And Jesus offers a different way, a way of grace, love, justice, and peace. One of the ways that we are called to do that is to sometimes speak truth to power. Sometimes we are tasked with pointing out the divisive, harmful, and oppressive actions of our leaders, not only in politics, but in the church as well and beyond. And after we've done that, we model what it looks like to truly love our neighbor as Jesus calls us to do. It will not be an easy task when the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart to speak truth to power. But we hold on to the belief that God is still working for good in this world, and that love will eventually prevail. I'll leave you with that earlier quote again from Matt Skinner. As a Christian in this time and place, what does faithful resistance and courageous hope look like for you? Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.